You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2.
You want to hear what this man had to say?
Well, yeah, I do, because even though I know I have heard it, you guys know I've heard it. Everyone's seen it, heard it. If you haven't, you've missed out, but...
It's classic.
It's very simple. The reporter said to Philip Kessel in Pittsburgh, "So, did you do anything fun this summer?"
No, same old shit, you know?
That's what he says. Same
Nothing
old...
Nothing out of the ordinary for Phil.
Let's hear what he had to say one more time.
No, same old shit, you know?
Just same old garbage, you
Riveting.
Know?
Riveting. Mr. Passion. Mr. Emotion, Phil Kessel.
I will awesome. Say, it looks like he's dropped a 20 spot.
Yeah, he does look... He looks a
I don't know
thinner.
If that's because the beard's gone or his head looks smaller.
I think he cut his hair and he got rid of the beard, and that factors in significantly. But he looks like he's in good shape. I mean, he's a pro hockey player that's 30 years old making $8 million a year.
Yeah.
I hope he's in good shape.
Probably well, should be.
And he's coming off a 92-point season.
I was just
going
to say,
and
he had 90 points last year, so people are still finding a way to kick this guy. Like, it's because it's Phil, but, like, it's he's a superstar. I don't know what people, like, he's a 90-point player.
Right.
Now, he may not be a 90-point player this year.
But I think if he's healthy, which he always is, he's a lock for 70 points
a lock.
On that team.
Yeah, for
a
sure.
A lock. The thing is about Phil... Fairly or unfairly, there's always a sense that the coach is ready to strangle him, you know, or someone in the organization isn't happy with the guy anymore, for whatever reason.
Right.
Because of his attitude, how nonchalant he can be, I don't know. But those reports were all over the place towards the end of the Penguins' playoff run last year, that Mike Sullivan has had enough of Phil, and maybe the coaching staff has decided it's time to move on from him. But
right.
Even if that was the case, obviously the GM and management said, great, good for you. You got to work with him because we're not moving him.
Right.
We've won two cups with this guy. He had 92 points a year ago. We're not moving on from Phil. So if there's something you don't like, approach him, have the conversation. If he's not going to change, then you got to figure it out.
Exactly.
Coach around the guy. But that type of response, that's Phil Kessel in a nutshell.
For sure. He's great for sound bites.
The best. I think he might be my favorite soundbite.
Really?
Like, good one, Randy. Good one.
Is probably... Good one, Randy. Good one.
How's your breath? That one.
The sit down with Pierre McGuire.
Right?
What he said to Feschuk when he was walking out of the room.
This guy's such an idiot here.
Phil's probably my all-time favorite quote. Because they're always quick.
Yeah.
Right? You don't have to go through the tape. There's no...
Yeah, they're just little nuggets.
Yes, exactly, man.
That's thanks, all. Eh?
There's no tape reel being cut on the floor, you know what I mean? Like, you're not going through a lot of material. It's quick.
Sorry, I snorted. So funny, though.
It's the best.
Like, his nuggets are the best. Like, I've met him in social situations. He's a very likable person.
Comes as advertised.
Exactly.
Everything you hear about Phil generally is correct.
But that's why he's liked by his teammates. Like, they goofed on him last year and that, but like they became, he was like a folk hero.
Yeah, 92
Pittsburgh.
Points, two cups. I think he got jobbed on a Conn Smythe. That
yeah.
first year I thought he should have got the Conn Smythe.
I agree.
Think
he
about
right
that.
There.
Phil
yeah.
got screwed over by Sidney Crosby in a Conn Smythe race. That's how good he was. That's how good he's been. I'm telling you, man, he's going to have a Hall of Fame debate. There will, if he can stay healthy
yes.
and keep going, he can't fall off.
Okay, so,
you know, Phil can't turn into a 38-point slug that
right.
plays 14 minutes a night and everyone turns on. He's got to be consistent for at least another 4 or 5 years.
Well, let's just take a look at the tape. Since 2010 and 11, he's played every game that has been available to him. So 82, 82, 48, 82, 82, 82, 82, 82. And the lowest goal output he's had is 25. That was 2014-15. That was the entire fire up here.
That was the Voracek year?
It was,
his final year
yeah,
in Toronto,
was,
I think?
Yes, it was. He had 61 points in a tire fire year. Like, and that's low for him. But 92-70, like, this guy is...
He's going to rack up close to a point a game. That's where he is in his prime. He's going to have two cups. The thing is, he's not going to have any hardware. He's not going to be up for a heart. He's not going to win a rocket.
I will say, when he first got to Pittsburgh, he played 82 games, 26 goals, 33 assists, 59 points. But then, in the playoffs, 22 points in 24 games. That's where the Conn Smythe was.
That's when he was really on fire. He played great. Now, Crosby had a great playoff, too. And it's Sid, and I'm not surprised that he won it, but that's how good Kessel's been. And this is what he does with his offseason. Nothing.
Yeah.
Same stuff as every other year. Stop asking. Golf,
man, you go through his stats, you pull him up on HockeyDB,
it's impressive.
It's impressive, man. Yeah, I'm telling you, if it wasn't Phil, right, because there's always some comedy that is attached to him. Look, all he said was same stuff. Like, that's it. And we're goofing on it. And everyone's, like, tweeting in saying, when are you going to get to the Phil audio?
But
that's him in a nutshell. Yet his numbers are remarkably impressive.
So whose picture could you stick there and stick those stats by and say, that is just ridiculous stats?
Zetterberg.
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of numbers Zetterberg would have had in his prime. You know, 72 one year, 92 another, and everyone's like, look at this guy. Blah,
I don't
blah,
think
blah.
He's a Hall of Famer, Zetterberg.
You don't put him
I
there?
I do.
No.
I do.
He's right on the fringe for me. He's real close. I could see him, and I think he'll get in.
Yeah.
Cups, international.
Yeah,
career,
I think he's
captain,
got an international stage. Yeah, he's got a lot for me.
All right, so we've been talking a lot about the 2018 Scotiabank Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer in support of Princess Margaret, and we've got one of our favorites on the line who is
for sure
going to be a big part of the Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer this year. He was down in Niagara this weekend, Maple Leaf alumni game. He was out there doing his thing. Here's our main man, Doug Gilmore.
Dougie, one of the Buffalo Bills players quit at halftime yesterday. Did you ever play a game later in your career where you could have just thrown your stuff in the bag and walked out the door?
You know, that's a tough question. You know, when you're 38, 39 years old, kind of playing still, and you know you can't do what you used to do, but you still want to compete. You know, it would kind of cross your mind, yeah. Yeah. But that's a tough go. Like, you know, really sit down and think. Don't do it during a game. Do it after a game and then think about it and then get back to it. So, hey, guys, welcome back on air.
Yeah, thanks for being on, man. This is great.
I fully think I could have quit during a game.
Yeah?
Yeah, like just...
I'm done.
Yeah. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't have pulled the trigger, but I would have had serious thoughts about it.
Well, honestly, the Leafs alumni game there, you know, we had three lines and two center. Two 20-minute stop time periods. I was really excited about it. I haven't put the blades on since the Outdoor Classic. I'm a little sore. So I wanted to quit during that game, too.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, man, staying in shape, like, do you have to gear up for an alumni game or you're just going in cold?
No, you're just going in cold. I'm not on the ice that much anymore, but it took about a good 10, 15 minutes to figure out how to skate again. It wasn't fun, guys.
Touch the toes. What? That's your stretching and go right out, eh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Darcy was playing too, and Darcy said, well, I got my hip done, so one leg's longer than the other. he's worried about toe picking out there. So that was a lot of fun. And I tell you, Niagara did a great job training camp. A lot of people.
It seemed like it. Yeah, man. I saw video and pics. People lined up around the block. And we were saying this in the previous hour. I think the Leafs, and you could probably speak to your own experiences back in the 90s, the organization did a really quality job this weekend of embracing the fans, acknowledging the fans, and sending the players out for pictures and autographs.
One thing I don't get is the Maid of the Mist 2 years in a row. Why do you got to fire up the Maid of the Mist?
Yeah, that didn't really come across the alumni guys. How's that?
Been there, done that.
Yeah, the Keg Mist was pretty good afterwards.
Right. In terms of, you know, preseason games, the Leafs start up tomorrow night and they play eight total. When you were in your prime, how many preseason games did you even want to play in?
Well, they had a rule that you couldn't play three, like late Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and three in a row. And I remember, I think it was like 96 year, almost, the year I was getting traded later on, Mike Murphy had me playing. We had 12 games. I think I played 10 of them. And I played all three. It was like, you know, I can't play all. Well, people are paying to come see you play, so when you get to that point, I just said, okay, well, just don't play me as much. And so you got through it. But training camp's so short, guys. And, oh, Doug, you know that. Like, for in you know, 83 when I started, we were in training camp for 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks before we ever thought about playing an exhibition game. So, yeah, it's a big difference.
Three games in 3 nights.
Yeah. I had to do it, too. I told the assistant coach, I'm like, you're not allowed to do that to me.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, yeah, watch this. Because yeah, you're playing.
Exactly.
I'm like,
same
you can't.
It's
I
in
think
the,
like, it's, the collective
it's in the,
bar.
Yeah, yeah, it's in the CBA.
I said that to
him, do that.
And I felt like it was like I was coming along with the wrong message because I was like not wanting to play. I said, you can't do that. And he goes, you're playing. So,
oh, dog, same thing. And, you know, it ended up being my last year there. But I was like, how am I, like, it's in our rules. How am I doing this? And, again, I played them all. So, oh, well.
Well, you survived it anyway.
Yes, I did. You know what? It's really hard. You're out there to play and get in game shape. But at the same time, you know, you never go into a game thinking you're going to get hurt. But at the same time, in exhibition, you do think about it sometimes. And you're playing hard. Like, for me to get in the best shape was always, if I lose the puck, back check hard, then change. And that's pretty much when you're trying to get to game level. Is for me, it was back checking. Everything else was, okay, I could do this, I could do this. But really go hard back checking and then get off. So my shifts might have been 35, 40 seconds.
I love that. Get back to the bench. You're so happy because you back checked.
Because you turned it over in the offensive zone.
Yeah.
I'm in mid-season form. Did you see that back check in the preseason?
That's a... You know what? Sometimes the shoulders are going faster than the legs, but it looks like I was going.
That's right. With Dougie Gilmore. How much of camp is just about camaraderie as well? I mean, all the boys go their separate ways in the summer, and yeah, you got to be ready on the ice, but how much of it is bonding off the ice as well?
Well, I'm sure everybody's happy to see each other, and obviously you're missing a guy. And you know, the excitement's there, guys. It's just it's a good hockey club, and you know, start the season off, and if you need to add players, as time goes on, you do it. But, you know, all I can say is there's a lot of offense, and I know that, you know, defense helps win too, but if you have the puck and you score a lot of goals, you're going to have a good chance to win.
I agree. We've talked, I don't think, at much length about Nazem Kadri's role this year. I mean, this is a guy who's got back-to-back 30 goals seasons, and he's, you know, a very well-rounded player, very trusted by Mike Babcock. But, you know, I was looking last night at ice time. You know, Tavares averaged around 20 minutes a game last year. I don't think he's going to get that from Mike because you need Austin Matthews. And Nazem Kadri didn't kill penalties last year. I think he was 48 seconds total the whole season on the penalty kill. So if you're... Not inside Nazem's head, Dougie, and you're a really good player, but you're looking at guys ahead of you. Like, how is he going to stay motivated without being disruptive this season?
Well, again, that's going to be up to the coaching staff, really. You know, where how guys are going, if you're back-to-back games, who played a lot the night before, you know, you got to manage everything. And but you're right. Naz competes hard. His, you know, his goal scoring, and again, like, it's you know, there's a lot of, obviously, penalty killing time. If he gets it, power play time, he should be getting that. So it at some point, like, I know that 5-on-5, you know, you go into, you guys are all players, like, you go into a third period, well, he might be playing left wing, he might be playing right wing, he might be playing center. You shorten the bench down and put him with the best players because he is one of the best players on a team. So, yeah, to have three top guys, it's in the old Naz earned, and you know, they signed him to a pretty good deal, but it's almost a cheap deal now. And he's a good player. Saw him play many years in junior, and he was challenged here for a while, and I think he's matured, and again, he's got a lot of skill.
Killer, what do you make of the C? Is it something that's, I mean, you were a captain, you were obviously a born leader, a leader on all the teams you played for. What do you think of the approach of not really naming one right now and just waiting to see? Like, is it something that fans and us media blow out of proportion, or is it the right approach?
Well, I think it's the right approach right now. I can tell you my best years that I played, I was probably an assistant captain. And it obviously there's a lot of teams that, you know, other guys are leadership guys and that don't have an A or don't have a C. It doesn't really matter. You've been in the dressing room and you know who is there to help, whether it's defense, goalies, everybody. Like, again, it really doesn't mean, like, it's very, you're very blessed to have it. Okay, I get that. But at the same time, why not do it this way? You know, obviously JT's been a captain. You know, Austin, you really need the pressure right now. Like, just I'd just say leave it alone. And I think they're doing the right thing.
A lot of comparables in terms of the anticipation for this season to that of the 93-94 season. And you're obviously a big part of that team. And you guys ran off 10 straight wins to start that 93-94 campaign. Take us back to the mood in the room. What was it like when you guys were running off 10 straight to kick off that season?
Probably the hardest practices we had in between those wins.
Really?
Because probably four or five of those wins we shouldn't have won, but we found a way to win. And then the Pat Burns philosophy is when you're winning, you're going to practice harder. When you lose, you're going to be a little bit more loose to get them back, look, to get your players back motivated. Okay, we need a win. So kind of, you know, you think sometimes if you're losing, you're going to practice hard. Well, no. When you're winning, you keep going hard. And then when you're losing, you lighten up a bit. So you try to get the guys to, you know, more refreshed and say, okay, let's win this now. So it's a, I know it's a different philosophy, but we went out, we played hard, don't get me wrong, but at least three, four of those games, we had a chance to lose easy.
Well, if the Leafs can run off 10 straight, man, this city's going to be on fire. I don't think anyone's bracing for that, but we're all bracing for a really fun and exciting season. And a lot of people bracing for the Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer. It's one of the great, great events in the city, September 29th up at Woodbine. You're going to be up there, Dougie. I know a lot of people are looking forward to it. How's the road hockey game going?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. This is my first one. I know it's our eighth year, but this kind of comes in the same time as our season in Kingston. So it worked out that I'm going to be there, and then I'll catch our game. We're actually in Erie that night, so I'm going to watch it on TV. So, I'm going to be there about 11 to 4, and I'll play some games, and I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, they raised over $18 million in the past 8 years, so it's something that, get out and keep doing it, because, you know, we've all been affected by this, so whether it's family or friends and colleagues, so it's hopefully one day we have a cure.
Absolutely. It's a great event. Enjoy it, buddy. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this, as always.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
There's the great Doug Gilmore.
Our favorite. Us.
Certainly a favorite of the show. We love Dougie.
Yeah.
The 2018 Scotiabank Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer in support of Princess Margaret is quickly approaching September 29th at Woodbine Racetrack. If you know someone that's participating in the tournament, show your support today. Visit teamuptoconquercancer.ca and look for the green button that says donate. So 10 straight wins, anyone would take that, obviously. But interesting what he said. You know, you can run off wins. It doesn't mean you necessarily were playing that well. What people forget about that 93-94 season, after the 10 wins, the Leafs were basically a 500 team the rest of the way. Like, they had some ups and downs, but they banked all those points early on.
Didn't
and just
Montreal
cruised to a
do
playoff
that a couple
spot.
Years ago? They had 10-0 or 9-0.
Yes.
And
well,
then
Buffalo
were...
did it, too, a while back.
Montreal definitely did it, though.
I think their 10th win was in Vancouver,
right,
out west. And then they were like a 500 team kind of the
well,
rest of the way. Or...
They hit the skids after that. Did they make the
playoffs? They fired Therrien that year,
that's
I believe.
Right, yeah.
But they still got in. You know, because
Price was ridiculous to start that season. He may have had an injury or something. I can't remember what happened, but I just remember Montreal like was dummying everyone like the first 10 games.
I'll just never forget saying, right now I can't see a team beating the Montreal Canadiens in a playoff series.
I think we all were talking about
that. Yeah, it's just like they're that good. And then...
Well, and then they hit the
months
wall.
Later,
like,
we're like, I can't see them beating another team in the playoffs.
And the Leafs were that one year. I think that was early on. Maybe Brian, you and I, Leafs lunch scenario where the Leafs were like pretty sitting nice in January, wasn't it? The 18-wheeler.
There were multiple 18-wheelers, but the original was the Ron Wilson firing.
Correct. But they were...
They were home.
They were a playoff team when Wilson got fired.
They were... Yes, they were. And at one point that season, like deep into the year, they were like first overall in the East.
Yes.
Like 20 games into the season.
Oh, you weren't on the show yet, were you? Or was that his first year?
No, I wasn't. Can't remember. That would have been pre-lockout, so...
Yeah.
No, I don't think he was.
That was such a roller coaster year.
There were a couple of those, man.
Yeah, you're right. But like, that one,
because Randy got fired. Same thing. They were in a playoff spot when Randy got fired, and Horacek rolled in. And see you later. The Overdrive hotline was open over the weekend. A bunch of people called in. We really appreciate that. We got a couple of calls we're going to get to next. One, putting the Vontae Davis scenario into beautiful perspective and posing a question that we will break down and debate. We'll get to that next. So the Overdrive hotline was open for the first time this weekend. For those of you wondering, the phone number is 416-384-3877. So if you have a take, if you've got a story, if you've got a question, it's always open. You can call it any time. We're always going through it. And Al and the Grappler got in here today, and they went through like 50-plus calls. There were a bunch of people that had left messages from all over the country. And if we don't get to them today, we'll try to get to them throughout the week or in, you know,
is there a better upcoming nickname weeks. In our group? There's Al, there's the Grappler, there's Mulls, there's
the Hayes, Grappler. There's nothing close to the the Grappler is the greatest nickname.
It is going. A great nickname. It is. Although
he just
Al's
gets in the corner and he's grabbing and pushing and punching.
He is. He's John Tonelli.
Yes. Right
from the '80s, just grinding away in the corners. We love him. The Grappler.
The Grappler. Shout out. Behind the glass. So we weren't sure really what we were walking into when we got in here today. And one of the first calls we received, it almost put an end to the hotline. You want to? We've already played it, but we got a new audience. This is one of the first things we heard when we checked out the voicemail.
Hi. Bye.
So not exactly what we're looking for.
So creepy, though.
Hi. Bye.
I like the bye. Like, I'm telling you, that's got to be on the voicemail. That's our new new answering machine right
just
there.
Just bye, that's
hi
it.
Hi and bye.
Okay, maybe we're 3 days into this. We'll change it already. I think we can do that. We could do you never know. We can get a little bit going
that's
of
true,
all the different
should.
Things we have. So, needless to say, it didn't necessarily start off on the right foot. We're like, tell me this is what it's going to be.
Yeah.
100 people calling in who are 24 beers deep just basically pranking us.
Yes.
But we did get some really good calls with some really good content. And we talked about this off the top. Vontae Davis just had enough of his career. Bills cornerback gets to the half. They're getting crushed. And he puts on his street clothes, orders an Uber, and leaves. Doesn't tell anyone. He retires at halftime.
That's awesome.
Now, I find it hard to believe if he was playing on a team that was about to go 2-0, he pulls the chute. This is so typically Bills because they're such a joke right now, and they're not going to dig themselves out of it anytime soon.
Right.
They're in Minnesota next week, and then they're in Green Bay in week four. They're going to get crushed both games. So with that being considered, Mark from Moncton, New Brunswick, left a very interesting voicemail over the weekend. You guys want to hear it?
I want to hear it.
Just want a comparison, see if I could get you guys to chime in on what would be more of a tire fire. Vontae Davis retiring at halftime or Patrick Waugh saying that he was never going to play another game for the Montreal Canadiens?
Outstanding question.
It is, actually. Do you remember? I completely forgot about that.
Basically the equivalent. Now, he didn't retire, but halfway through the game, he said, I'm out. I'm never playing for you.
They left him in for 9 goals.
I understand that, but he still pulled the chute on the whole organization.
I think with this guy doing it in the half, and the Bills are such a tire fire, it's like, okay, buddy, he walked away, whatever. But for the Montreal Canadiens, with the cameras on and Patrick Waugh going up to the owner, and it was a big spectacle saying, I think in Montreal was a bigger tire fire.
It at that time, for sure, because Mario Tremblay was the coach. Remember him eyeballing Waugh as he walked? Waugh walked by him twice. The fans are jeering him. This is arguably one of the greatest goaltenders who ever walked the face of this earth, and the fans are giving it to him. Like, I don't think they saw that one coming.
No.
You know, he's having a rough night, and he makes the save, throws his arms in the air, gets pulled, and then says, check, please, I'm out of here. goes and wins cups.
Right, and he goes and wins two more cups in Colorado. Without question, because of the visual, because there's video of it, the right. Patrick Waugh maneuver is more legendary,
yes.
more shocking, because the whole world got to see it.
Yes.
And he was such a staple of that organization. His numbers retired. He's an all-time great. He mm-hmm. had won two cups in 86 and 93. Conn Smythe, Rookie of the Year, Vesna's, all that kind of stuff.
You name it.
Vontae Davis has no history in Buffalo. He just right. got there. They're a brutal team. But I would think the Waugh maneuver probably more respected by his teammates because you had to respect him because he was the man on the team. Wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
Like, at the same time, you're like, now we're really screwed. If this guy's leaving, we're in big trouble. And the Habs went into a significant swoon.
I would have fired the coach before I traded Patrick Waugh.
That's right.
Yeah.
Like, Vontae Davis, they're probably like, are you serious? You're Vontae Davis. Yeah, we suck, but we're all in this together. You're really going to pull the shoot?
Right.
Like, because his teammates are absolutely carving him up.
Yeah, there's
calling
not a lot
it disrespectful
of support for him.
And, you know, and I can understand that. If I was his teammate, I'd be pretty sour, too. Like, give us one more half, dude. Give us 30 more minutes of play, make a couple tackles, and then retire after
the game. I think Davis is regretting this today. I mean, even, like, future job things. Like, if you're ESPN or Fox or somebody, and this guy wants to maybe commentate on it, if you're the guy doing the hiring, aren't you thinking, maybe there's a chance this guy just stands up on set and walks out on us. I don't want to hire this guy.
But
you know what I mean? Like, it's just it's a bad look.
You're right. It's a bad look, but they may want that. They may want, if this guy's willing to do that, maybe he's willing to say something or do something that is off the beaten path. And there is turnover in certain shows and stuff like that. So I think it just reflects poorly on him. I agree with that part. But I think the Patrick Waugh one, it's a great question. The Patrick Waugh one just hit home on a lot of different levels for me. It's a goalie being left in for nine. And, like, he deserved way more respect.
From that organization.
Should have been fired.
Yes. And I agree with you. I would have fired the coach before
But the Vontae Davis situation,
Patrick
just check,
Waugh.
Please.
That's the thing. That's more about, he obviously made the decision well before the game. Like, you could tell, I think what he regretted was even showing up, period. If he has a regret, it's that he played the first half.
Yeah, that
not that he didn't play
on.
The second.
Yeah.
Because you could tell this guy was prepared to pull the shoot well in advance. He wrote like a Shakespearean basically, like a playwright in terms of his retirement and why he did it and what football's meant to him. And you guys want to hear another call?
Yes.
This is
great start to the hotline.
Yes. Shout out to everyone that called. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
This one is from Kent, I believe. Kent. We don't get a lot of Kents.
It's an old school beer drinker name.
We love that name.
I have a bit of a hot take. The O-Dog will pull a Vontae Davis 3 to 4 hours into the next TSN Trade Center show.
Jerry's on the O-Dog pulling a Vontae Davis on Trade Center.
Not allowed. It's in my contract. I have to stay for the whole
thing. Vontae Davis had it in his contract that he was supposed to play the game. No. I'm pretty sure second half show up in the small print.
I already have it mapped out. When it gets really slow, I just say to somebody, I got to go to the bathroom, and I get somebody to fill in for me in the desk.
Yeah, that's usually me.
And I'll go for a toot for 40 minutes and just wander around.
Yeah, he goes for stops and chats with people.
That's only
classic.
When it really slows down.
Right.
But that's never happening. Like,
no,
I'm never,
I don't think you, I can't see you walking, but I could see you disappearing for a couple hours.
Yeah, but that's not why.
Yeah. Can you imagine if you just stood up and was like, bye.
This is what you're going to say to Duffy 4 hours into Trade Center.
Bye.
Just, I'm out of here.
No.
It is a pretty good hot take.
I think it's a 0% you're going to leave.
0%. Do we have any more, like, with intelligence or no?
Oh, so you don't like the hotline now? Someone takes a shot at you and all of a sudden we don't like the hotline.
Let's get
anymore.
Some more debate going. Is there anything worthwhile?
Well, there's a pretty good one about William Nylander and the way he, we got a guy named Luke. We got a guy who left the William Nylander take.
Let's hear it.
On the hotline. You want to hear Luke's take?
Yes, let's go.
Hey guys, Luke from Boshkong Lake, Ontario. Maybe a moot point by Monday, but here's the take. I've heard Willie Nye talks about a bridge deal, and I haven't heard media pushing for it. Take a 4-year deal, less bucks, rack up points with Austin Tavares, and go to free agency. I don't think the UFA angle has been discussed in detail with the chance of his big payday or even leaving Toronto. It seems like just a business to him, especially considering Dreg's comments this week regarding his entry-level contract. What are your thoughts?
Great call, Luke.
Great call. He had that scripted out.
Yes,
he
did.
He was reading.
And we'll take that.
We'll take it. That's awesome.
Read it. Wing it. Do whatever you want. The Leafs won't do
that. I was just going to say, I don't think the Leafs will allow that. I think it's 2 or 6 or 7.
Right. That's why it hasn't been brought up enough, because Dubas in his first contract isn't going to hand a guy UFA status in 4 years.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. That would be...
I think Nylander would love it. If I'm Nylander, I'd be like, I'll take 4 years. Perfect.
$6 million a year for 4 years.
Exactly. Then I can walk if I want. Like, that would be a spectacular move by
any player in their prime would want that.
Right.
Give that to me. I'll take $5 million.
But that's, walk me to free agency, and then I can do whatever I want.
That's why, I mean, in Ottawa, it goes arbitrate. Mark Stone at 735 is going to be an unrestricted free agent. Like, that one could sting them. And I think Nylander would relish that. That's why I think that you see the price going up a little bit, because if they are going to buy those unrestricted free agent years on the back end, years 5 and 6, you got to sweeten the pot a little
bit. Right, exactly.
So that's why he's probably saying, well, hey, I'm going to be an $8 million player by then, so let's look at that.
And we haven't really been in this position in quite some time. I mean, Kadri came real close. I think he signed on like the eve of camp, but they weren't. That was the tank year.
And I don't think it was an ugly negotiation. Not that this is one. I don't think it was. It was just a different era, a different time.
Right. So. And Kadri was in a different position. And exactly. I believe he signed a 1-year deal at that point. I'm pretty sure that was when he was real close to camp. And I'm sure there have been other examples. But because of the expectations being so high for this team and the excitement level through the roof, the only black cloud right now is Nylander. Like, that's it. People are nervous about what's going to happen here. And you know who wants him in camp more than anybody is Matthews.
Sure.
And we talked about this in the 4 p.m. hour.
He's the one guy where it's like, you know, there was talk about who he was playing with last year, and now his go-to guy is nowhere to be found. I'm sure he's not too jacked about it either.
No, you shouldn't be. I mean, it's a business, and Matthews, if he doesn't know that by now, this is a pretty good refresher, but... Marner's with Tavares. Like, Babcock has made that decision.
Yeah.
So once Marner's off the board as an option, playing with Marlow will be fun and productive, and Marlow will keep up and he'll put up some numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But he's 39 and he's not going to do it every single night.
Mm-hmm.
Nylander is the guy. You know, if Matthews wants to continue to perform, which I expect that he will, and it doesn't matter who Matthews plays with, he's still going to look good and he's going to put up numbers, but it's about finish.
Correct.
You know, I think that was why I believe he wasn't always ecstatic with playing with Hyman.
Right.
Because he put it on his tape every once in a while and he couldn't close. And that's going to be exposed even more with Marner. Like, the amount of plays Marner makes where he drags the whole ice to him and then he puts it on your tape. Hyman's going to get some opportunities backdoor to tap him in.
Yeah.
Right.
And trust me, I played with some talented guys like a Ronnie Francis where he would say, you got to bear down. If I give you these tap-ins, layups.
Yeah,
like
strong on your stick.
Strong on your Gilmore. Stick. And like...
Tap,
bury.
Tap, tap.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just tap it.
Because sometimes you just get watching and you're like, okay, when is it? And then boom, it's on your tape, open net, and you're not ready for it. And it's not like you're not focused, but you just get mesmerized by the puck carrier and what they're doing. And then it's like, whoa, I got an open net here and it's through my legs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly, man. And if you miss out on 4 or 5 of those a year...
You get pulled off the line.
Exactly.
Eventually. I think you look for other options because, you can speak to this, and I've heard other goal scorers talk like this in public, but private settings, or like, get that guy off my line.
Oh, yeah.
Because
the superstars, they get called in, and they're like, well, okay, you're not going, like, you're not going right now, and you're not going off the line, so who do you want on your line?
Yeah.
And somebody else is gone.
And you say, let's try this scenario out. That's why, I mean, William Nylander is a great fit, and they have chemistry with Austin Matthews, but you want him to hit the ground running. I don't think it's that big of a deal. If he signs a week from now,
no, it doesn't,
he's going to be fine. But the longer it drags, I haven't done the due diligence, and I will, but... When Goudreau had his little mini holdout there, I think he had a slow start, and then he got really going. But it takes time to get your body rolling, your mind rolling, the game speed.
Well, you also immediately have the pressure of exceeding the contract's expectations as well.
Yes.
Which is something that these guys have to adapt to. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, let's say Nylander on the eve of the season signs a whatever it is, 6-year deal at 6.5 or whatever. Yeah. That's a big number. and the whole city's going to be like, all right, man, you got your paycheck, and you didn't get camp, and for whatever reason you guys couldn't figure it out. Kyle Dubas doesn't have to prove himself night one.
Right.
Nylander will be on the clock immediately, and if he has a slow start, then people are going to be like, what was this all about?
Right, right.
You know, that number, getting paid, man, that's an adjustment as well. Like, you have to,
you
as an athlete.
Start making big bucks, you're like, okay, I better bring it night in and night out, because that's what I'm paid to do.
Exactly.
I agree.
Marcellus Wiley on a wild Sunday in the NFL yesterday. Kickers getting cut left, right, and center. Josh Gordon is officially a member of the New England Patriots. He's out. He's been traded from Cleveland to New England. We'll get into that conversation. Speaking of paydays, two members of the sporting community tipping their hands over the weekend that they're looking to get paid again. We'll tell you about that next. It's Cowboys with a big win last night. Eli Manning, he looks like he wants to quit at halftime. I know we made that joke earlier this afternoon, but he looks disheveled. He looks old. He looks weathered. He hates his offensive line. The Giants are 0-2. Everyone's talking them up like a sweetheart team. Everything's going to work out. 0-2.
They can't produce offense.
Can't put up points.
7-10 points the first week. And what, 13 yesterday?
With a garbage time touchdown that didn't mean anything. Someone posted this stat earlier. The Giants have not scored 30 points in a game since week 17 of the 2015 season. 34 straight games without a 30-point game.
Wow.
That is Browns-esque. Like the Browns.
The Browns should be 2-0.
Brown town.
They cut their kicker. They should be 2-0. If they had a kicker, guy missed the kicker week one in overtime, well, it got blocked, and then he missed four kicks yesterday. The Browns should be 2-0 and sitting atop the AFC North. Instead, they're 0-1-1 and probably done.
Their talk shows must be going nuts today.
Oh, my God.
Man, I'm telling you, we do not treat kickers like human beings.
I know.
They're human beings. We just shoo them to the curb. You're cut. Cut that piece of garbage. Like, people on Twitter were...
We should have had West Coast Mitch on today.
Mitch Berger?
Yeah.
He's a part of the kicking fraternity.
Yes.
He'd probably stick up for his boys. Well, I would think he would.
Sure. I mean, I've seen... I always liked the kicker, but I think the kicker was... They're so unique, right? Like, they're not even... I can't see...
Never even considered part of the team.
Yeah, who do the kickers hang out
they're
with
They're only
on the
part
team?
Of the team when they make the game winner. Yeah. And everyone loves the kicker.
Right.
Do you want to hear an old clip from Bill Parcells that puts it into perspective how football people feel about kickers?
Yes, I can't wait
to hear.
Okay,
so Parcells, I don't remember what team he was on, but he's talking with the doctor. This is a doctor he's talking to.
Right.
And he's waiting for an update on the status of his kicker.
Yeah.
And this is the back and forth.
He's all right, but he's not in top form.
Huh?
He'll be able to play, but he's not in top form, that's all.
Well, he don't have to play, Doc. All he's got to do is kick.
He don't have to play, Doc. All he's got to do is kick. That is so disrespectful.
Exactly.
That's Parcells' way of saying, no, he's not a player. You think he's not a part of the team.
Yeah.
I don't need him to play. I need him to step up and kick the ball.
Yeah.
And then go sit in the corner until I tell him to run back out on the field.
Who's known as the greatest NFL kicker of all time? Is there like even a...
Vinatieri would be on a short list.
He was with the Patriots for a long time.
Yeah,
he was automatic.
He's still kicking for the Colts. He's like 45. He's still in the league. Vinatieri, there's probably old school guys that would kick 65-yard bombs.
But like everyone has these arguments, right? Who's the greatest quarterback? Who's the greatest running back? Like, who's the greatest kicker? Nobody cares,
that's
right?
The point, exactly. We care so little about the kicker in this hot take world that we live in, this hot take universe, that has never been a debate. No one has wasted their time debating who the greatest kicker is because they just don't care.
The CFL, I remember there was this guy named... Hank Olisik. He played for the Edmonton Eskimos years ago. Like, he was like a legendary around town.
Bar play in Edmonton?
Yeah, Sean Fleming, another guy. Like,
really? Look at
Chris Milo, I believe he was with the Ottawa Red Blacks. Follows me on Instagram.
Good man.
Our CFL insider, Noodles.
Look at you running off old school names.
I just remember that maybe I have a soft spot for the kicker.
I think you do. You see that Floyd Mayweather is going to be coming out of retirement again, allegedly. He tweets out that he's going to fight Manny Pacquiao for a second time.
He's probably burned through a bunch of money and is like, okay, I need another $50 million, $100 million payday.
This guy's the Rolling Stones of athletes. Like, he he's always, this is my retirement fight. Yeah. That's what was happening last time these two fought, and then it was Conor McGregor, and now what it is Mayweather knows we're all suckers, and we're going to get roped into this idea of him losing a fight, which he's not going to do, because as old and weathered as he might be, Pacquiao's even worse, yeah, and even older and more weathered.
Pacquiao looked a little rough, too, in that conversation they were having.
He gets the crap beaten out of him whenever he steps in the ring.
Feel bad.
Like, the last fight was brutal. Mayweather just picked him apart.
That must have led all memes in memes, because it was just because he was lying on the floor or the ring
with his wife going crazy. Is that the one you're talking about?
I don't know. There was just, he got just dummied, and it was just, he was everywhere. If somebody got knocked out or punched, it was just a Pacquiao head.
Yeah, that wasn't the Mayweather fight. It was someone else that knocked him, like, just right out of the ring. He fell out of the ring. Which is tough.
That is tough, getting knocked out of the ring.
That's the kicker of boxing maneuvers. You get knocked out of the ring, people are going to goof on you.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. People are going to buy it. I'm probably one of them.
I'll spend $100
exactly
on it.
Like, I'll probably end up getting roped in. They'll do an HBO 24/7. I'll buy into the idea that Mayweather's finally going to lose, that Pacquiao's in the best shape of his life.
No,
and I'll probably buy it, because I bought the first one for $100 in HD.
Hey, if I go over to somebody's house and they got it on, great. But I'm not buying into that. It's just not happening. He's going to dummy him, and no thanks.
Weren't you into the McGregor one?
I was. But at the end of the day, I ultimately knew that McGregor had no chance of winning.
Right.
But I still wanted to see the MMA fighter against the boxer. Does he have a chance?
That's the beauty of
But in my head,
Mayweather.
I knew he had no chance.
Exactly.
But I still had to watch it.
But McGregor
I bought it, too. That's the first ever I've ever bought.
McGregor didn't embarrass himself, though.
He didn't.
I thought he did a pretty good job.
But it was almost like they got together and said, look, let's just keep this close and not be embarrassing here, and then I'm going to win.
That's exactly what it felt like. Mayweather was toying with him the first three rounds.
Yeah.
Let him survive, let him dance, get a couple punches in, and then you look at the scorecards.
It was only for a split second where you thought McGregor had any chance of winning.
Right. Well, but this is the beauty of boxing, a puncher's chance, right? Everyone's got a chance if you connect properly.
Right.
Thing is, Mayweather's done this 45 times or whatever, and no one's connected properly because he's a machine. He's one of the all-time greats. He's undefeated for a reason. And this kind of feels like Mickelson-Tiger. You know, if this happened 15 years ago, we'd have a fight.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they all said about the original. These guys were too old, and they're only in it for the money.
Yeah, they missed
but you'll
the boat
watch
on
it.
This one.
You're going to watch Mickelson Tiger, too.
I'll probably watch that, too. I talk a big game,
watch
and I snap,
it
and I'll get roped in.
You know what? I will, but my interest level compared to 20 years ago or 15 years ago, it's not even close.
No.
Right.
For
no,
either
Like, when
either
they hated each other, that's when they're supposed to play this match.
Exactly. Like, 2004.
They're buddies now.
Exactly.
Well, because they want cash.
That's what it's all about, and they know that there's a bunch of suckers out there. Three of us are
three
in
three suckers
room.
Sitting right here.
Is that a pay-per-view?
Yeah, it's going to be. I believe Tiger Phil is going to be pay-per-view. I don't know if all the details have been sorted out yet, but I feel like it
I
will
I think
be.
They're going to be a little bit upset when they get the reviews on that pay-per-view.
You think so?
Yeah, I do.
They got to do a really good job
golfing
of selling
pay-per-view,
it.
Tiger and Phil at this particular stage of their careers is nowhere close to boxing. Nowhere.
But if there's one guy that can draw, it's Tiger. Like, if Tiger's playing, we all want to watch. How many times... Now, we're lucky. We only pay whatever we pay for cable. But
right.
If he's rolling any given weekend, he's playing this weekend. If I called you on Sunday and he's in the lead and I said, would you pay $10 to watch the rest of the round?
Back nine, I'd pay $10.
Exactly. Now,
but
what's the limit
on
that?
For a goofy charity match?
We'll see.
I don't know.
They're mic'd up. They got to do it properly. Marcellus Wiley in the next hour. We'll get back into the Leafs camp. Jays and the report out of USA Today about the potential Donaldson offer that was on the table from St. Louis. That more coming up in the final hour. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.